Thank you and welcome you for attending the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities Lunch and Learn. I also would like to extend my appreciation to Senator Olson and Representative Bryce Edgman for their support, and would like to ask Senator Olson to say a few words for us.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for this opportunity, and I think we are blessed here at the State Capitol to go ahead and have a distinguished and especially a very important part of the Housing Authority come on down here to present. I'd like to go to recognize those legislators that are here with us this afternoon. We have Representative Paul Seaton, who's been very instrumental in some of the rural issues, and of course, we've got Senator Lyman Hoffman sitting up here to my right, and he's been very involved with a hands-on involvement with what's going on with the regional housing authorities. First of all, just to briefly say that, you know, there are both direct and indirect economic impacts to rural Alaska and urban Alaska, for that matter, because millions of dollars have been spent out there in winterization as well as weatherization of in the projects that Senator Hoffman was so instrumental in getting through the Senate and through the legislation to get ultimately funded. So with that, I just want to make it short. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and we're looking to listen and learn, and thank you for coming down, and all those people that are from out of town here.
Great. Thank you for that. Again, my name is Terry Netter. I am the board president for the Association of Alaska Housing Authority, as well as the executive director for the Copper River Basin Regional Housing Authority. We are very much appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule this week to have lunch with us and to learn a little bit more of what we as regional housing authorities do for our communities. Our intent today is to provide you with an educational overview of the affordable housing activities that we have undertaken in our communities. So with that, I'm going to go right into my presentation here. Good quality, affordable housing is truly the foundation of good, healthy communities. Without positive housing environment, we see a reduction in high school graduation, more homes that are not healthy, poor ventilation. And we as housing authorities go into our communities with the weatherization program and supplemental program that we are recipients of AHFC to provide new development, affordable housing. Sorry about that. So the importance of good quality affordable housing is truly the foundational piece in people's lives. A quality home which is built energy efficient, not overcrowded, with too many families, provides a healthy base where family members can seek education and work opportunities. The lack of housing, affordable housing can hinder the economic growth in our communities. There isn't enough affordable housing in our area, be it rural or urban areas, it makes it extremely challenging for new business growth. Alaska's regional housing authorities build high quality, energy efficient new housing. We renovate housing, weatherize homes and communities throughout Alaska. And although the regional housing authorities are effective and efficient housing producers, they are building and improving homes where the need for safe, affordable housing far outpaces the available funds. In addition to the need of affordable homes for a general population, we are seeing an increasing need for housing options for Alaska elders. Alaska has the fastest growing senior population of any state in the U.S. The most recent housing study, needs assessment study, that was conducted by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in 2009 indicated that nearly 13,000 100,000 more housing units was still needed in the state to address and alleviate the overcrowding and replacement of homes that are severely substandard. Programs such as AHFC's Supplemental Housing Development Fund and the Senior Housing Development Fund are very helpful in taking steps to address the needs to identified in this assessment. Those funds are leveraged with HUD funds and private dollars by the regional housing authorities, and the results of the housing authorities' construction is about 200 units per year. Here's a few statistics that I would like you to know of the housing authorities, the impacts of the programs that we administer. For every dollar the state spends in AHFC supplemental development, $4 are leveraged in the projects through HUD and private funds. By April of 2013, 10,500 individuals and families in Alaska will have had their homes weatherized through the AHFC's weatherization program. AHFC estimates that 10% of the total need in the state. We, as housing authorities, have seen as energy savings of 30 to 40% by the improvements that we do on private homes in our communities through the weatherization program. In fiscal year 2013, organizations supporting seniors submitted $12.8 million in funding requests to AHFC for the Senior Citizens Housing Development. There are only $4 million available for projects. All of these programs support quality employment and development for, all these programs support quality employment and job development in our regions. Collectively, the housing authorities employ 2,250 individuals a year. The construction activity supports the purchase of goods and services from the businesses throughout Alaska. So at this time, I'm going to introduce our panel. Ricardo Wuerl is the Executive Director of the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, and he will give a presentation on the supplemental funds.
Thank you, Terry. First of all, welcome to our legislators, senators, representatives, and also the staff. Definitely I can appreciate you taking the time and trying to learn more information. I had the opportunity to work as a legislative aide years ago during Representative Mackey's freshman term. Oh, look, there he is right there. Hey, Jerry, good to see you. So I know that you guys have to take a lot of information in, and so we really appreciate you being here to learn about the housing authorities and our relationship with the state. And I do have to say that the association and our regional housing authorities have an excellent relationship, a partnership with Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And I'm not just saying that because Dan Fowsky's in the room, but we really do. They acknowledge and they recognize that the housing authorities, we're the ones that are, on the ground, swinging hammers, building the homes, meeting the challenges of building in rural Alaska and Alaska in general. There's so many challenges, but I won't go into that, but it's very costly. And if we didn't have the AHFC Supplemental Housing Grant Program, I could tell you we would be a lot less developed than we are now. The Supplemental Grant Program provides a 20% match to the total development cost of HUD funds. So every $1 that we get from the state in supplemental grant funds, the housing authorities provide $4 of their HUD funding. This is essential for our success because the HUD funds that we often have are restricted. We're not able to use them for water and sewer and all of these infrastructure costs. So the 20% match is huge for us. It's enormous. It also, the state money, supplemental money, comes with the requirements for energy efficiency. So we're building these energy efficient, high quality home, and they meet, you know, the 5-star ratings, the state energy standards. It's important, not just for cost savings to the tenants in energy costs, but also if we're building individual homes and the individuals want to sell their homes, they're going to have these without that standard, which often happens in rural Alaska. You're not going to be able to finance those homes if you go to sell it or somebody wants to refinance. If you don't meet those energy standards, you know, you'd have a difficult time, or you'd have substandard housing. All of our homes are exceptional quality. Also, the important thing about supplemental housing and the Housing Authority, it's all local hire. All of the money that is going in through the supplemental grant is 100% direct services to your clientele, to our voters, to the people of Alaska. There's no administrative cost, there's no fluff to it. It's going to direct services for our clients. The last thing, I guess, on with regards to supplemental, if we were to leverage the $16.7 million that's the request amount, that would result in $99 million of match funds from HUD and from the housing authorities. So here's an example of some homes that were built here in Juneau, out in the valley, multifamily and single family. This one is a brand new 17-unit senior center in Saxman. The Housing Authority, we provided $6.7 million was a total development cost, $850,000 in supplemental funds. And this building is state-of-the-art, energy efficient, and you know, all thanks to our partnership with HFC. Here's examples. Bart, you want to, Bart with the Baranof Island Housing Authority, you might want to mention some of your projects.
Thank you, everyone. The top photo is phase two of a rental project. This phase was funded with Recovery Act money and was matched with the Supplemental Housing Program funds. We were able to do additional energy efficiency features we would not have been able to cover otherwise with this project. This is serving one and two bedroom units. Phase one was completed prior to that, again with federal dollars matched with supplemental. So both of these, this is a total of 16 rental units that were completed in 2011 and 2008. So this is our most recent rental project. Phase one is the photo down below. An example, I mean, to personalize this, The unit on the lower left, the lower units were all handicap accessible. The lower unit was modified and into a one bedroom. The gentleman in there is wheelchair bound, so he's physically impaired. I built phase one with handicap units in the first phase. We brought, with the intention of moving that gentleman into it, we brought him in there and found out, even though it was handicap designed, he could not use that facility. He was a big man, his wheelchair feet stuck out, he didn't have the turning room. So I was able to build phase two and modify that unit and was able to move that gentleman into the, it took me 4 years to be able to get there, but I got there. And he was driving that wheelchair up a gravel road in the pouring down rain or the dust, and I got him a mile closer to town, and he's on a sidewalk from now on. That's what we could do for these folks. These are our rehabilitation units, modernization. Energy efficiency supplemental funds went to the energy efficiency features in these. These were two homes that were structurally sound enough to rebuild. So the cost of rebuilding these was significantly cheaper than new construction. And I was able to bring supplemental funds into this. A single family, a single mom with a daughter is in the lower one, and an elder from our community is living in the upper one. He literally had buckets in his living room to catch the rain. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bart. So that concludes our portion on supplemental housing, and I believe we have Ron. Okay, sorry. Ron Hoffman is going to talk about our weatherization program.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My name is Ron Hoffman. I'm the president for ABCP Housing Authority based in Bethel, and I'm going to be covering the weatherization. I'm going to give the weatherization presentation, but I would also like to emphasize the importance of the supplemental. You know, my housing authority, we've built almost 500 homes by force account, and this would not be possible without the supplemental program. And so it's critically important for all the housing authority in the state to receive the funding source, and we really appreciate the support. In respect to the weatherization, I'd like to thank Senator Hoffman here for enacting and promoting this piece of legislation that is benefiting all the families throughout Alaska. And I appreciate the legislature's support in that respect. My region basically consists of 56 tribes. And I serve an area of size of Oregon or Wisconsin, very large, remote, isolated communities. And we have a population of roughly 25,000 people or so. And our villages are only accessible by air. During the winter months, that's the only way you could get there, other than snow machines, a few dog teams here and there, but this is how it is in remote rural Alaska. And of course, during the summer months, you got transportation by boat. Now, in regards to the census information, the Wade Hampton district is considered the poorest census district in the United States. And the report that we received from DOL, we're looking at roughly 25%. Unemployment rate, but I could assure you that's a lot higher. And the average medium income is just over 30,000, and Wade Hampton have a population of over 7. The Bethel Census District has an unemployment rate of 15% or so, but I think it's really a lot higher, maybe 20 to 30% or so. The cost is very expensive. And I just want to go ahead and reference some costs in some of their region, like Neposkiak. They are paying $6.44 a gallon for heating fuel. These are updated information. The highest, as you could relate to, is Tuxuk Bay at $7.25 per gallon. And let's go ahead and take a look at the transportation cost that is going up considerably. And it's impacting everything, all services, providing services to individuals and whatnot. Let's take go back, please. Let's look at Hooper Bay. 146 miles, round trip, $556. And then, of course, from Bethel to Anchorage is roughly $500, $600 round trip. Then you compare the cost to Seattle, you know, we're talking from $1,100 to $1,300. And that, you know, their cost is roughly about $4.25. And I guess the gas prices here is under $4 a gallon. So this cost is having a devastating impact on the families in rural Alaska. And this is very very common, not only in my region, but all over the rural Alaska. We received roughly over $20 million in the weatherization program. Next slide, please. And we weatherized over 600 units within our region. This is a significant amount of units. However, I still got many more that I need to address. Now, ABCP Housing Authority, we perform all our projects by force account. We build our own houses. We address special projects by force account. We force account the weatherization program as well. Now, I'd like to go ahead and go right to 2012. We paid out, including fringe benefit, $2.1 million in wages, and we hired 261 individuals. Overall, ABCP Housing Authority, in 2011, with new construction, special project construction, weatherization, we paid out over $15 million in wages. Last year, we paid out, as of October 1, over $10 million in wages. And we hired over 700 people. This practice was not how it used to be. We used to contract our projects, all our projects, in fact, which restrict the opportunity of local hire. This is no longer the case. There's many types of activities under the weatherization program. Boiler replacement is just another example. Furnace as well. And then you can see the old wood stove and the new one. And of course, the ventilation. Our region is suffering with, it's problematic with ventilation. We have reports that many of the families we are experience health related problems dealing with ventilation. And it is a problem, you know, throughout rural Alaska. So there's another project, soffit insulation repairs that we did. And also some health and safety items that we installed. Every project that we encounter, we are required to conduct a pretest. That's to assess the unit. Every housing authority in the state of Alaska have to go ahead and conduct a pretest. That would determine the scope of work. At the end of the, at conclusion of the work, we are mandated to close out the project to conduct a post-test. And as you could relate to, the actual annual savings is $1,180. This is very common in all and every unit that we have weatherized, not only in my region, but I think in urban Anchorage and Fairbanks, and also rural Alaska. So this is a very very worthwhile program. It's a program that is you know, really assisting individuals across the state of Alaska. And thank you. And I'm Carol's going to go ahead and take the next presentation on senior housing.
Good afternoon. I'm Carol Gore. I'm with Cook Inlet Housing. And if you can't read the saying, I want to sort of repeat it to you. Of course, I am nice to my elders. Someday, I'm going to be one. So that's a little bit of the theme of my presentation on the Senior Citizens Housing Development Grant Fund that's delivered through Alaska Housing. And I want to thank the legislature for your investment in our seniors, all the way from Dillingham to Anchorage to Fairbanks to Soldotna to Kodiak. You're making a difference in the lives of our seniors in the state. So whether you're a baby boomer, a baby buster, a Generation X, Y, Z, a millennial, a sandwich generation, someday if you're lucky enough, you too will be an elder. And this is going to make a difference for you too. I think it's no secret that we have the fastest growing senior population in America. But I think it's bigger than that. We need to get ready for the silver tide. And in fact, if I were to articulate this more properly, I would call it a tsunami. According to the Department of Health and Social Services, we've seen an 85% increase in our senior population between 2000 and 2011. We've been the number one state in growth of senior citizens per capita since 2009. In 2011, 14% of our population were senior citizens. Of that population, 20% were over the age of 75, 40% were between the ages of 65 and 75, and 40% were between the ages of 60 and 64. This last baby boomer generation saw a 127% increase in the last 11 years. The last group saw a 94% increase. So what does that mean to us? To me, it tells me that our senior citizens are living longer. I guess that's good news for us. But more importantly, they're choosing to live here. So they're also widely distributed around the state. I think sometimes that's a question. About a third of our seniors live in South Central, about 17% in Southeast, and then the rest of the state, 10% of our senior population is distributed in every other region. Since 2009, the Senior Citizen Housing Development Grant Fund has resulted in the construction of 268 senior rentals located from Dillingham to Anchorage. In 2012, if you'd go to the next slide, please. In 2012, HFC awarded funds to construct another 94 senior rentals in three communities, Kodiak, Soldotna, and Eagle River. Just $4 million in state funds leveraged another $23 million from other sources. While the Senior Citizens Housing Development Grant Fund averaged just 15% of the total capital, this small investment is the critical gap funding that makes a difference in whether or not critically needed senior housing is built. And let me underline, or not. As an example, this year there were applications for another 163 shovel-ready senior housing units that were not funded. These shovel-ready developments needed another $9 million from Alaska Housing in order to be built. It truly made the difference between being built or not, whether or not they were funded by the Senior Citizens Housing Development Grant Fund. So courtesy of Dave McClure and Val Anguson, who's in the audience, here are pictures of two senior housing developments from the Bristol Bay region, one in New Stoyahawk, hopefully I'm saying that right, and one in Togiak. Both are five-unit independent living with a companion or a resident service unit. They also have a common area that's used for senior activities, but it's also used for gathering with young people who get to learn from the elders, beading and other cultural things like sewing. In addition to this, what's I think especially interesting about these two developments is they also bring a $100,000 annual operating grant for rental assistance, and the community themselves bring in another $20,000 every year for operating support. So it's really a community project for Dillingham. Cook Inlet Housing provides over 400 independent living senior rentals from Seldovia, Ninilchik, Kenai, and Seldovia, Kenai, Ninilchik, where I'm from, and Anchorage. With support from the Senior Citizen Housing Development Grant, we will build another 56 units in downtown Eagle River this summer. Our residents represent a diverse population of retirees who in their retirement live on a fixed low to moderate income. Our senior community in Anchorage is home to a disabled policeman, a nurse, a bookkeeper, a construction worker, a food service worker, and they make for, let me tell you, a very lively and robust senior community. If anyone thinks that they're easier to manage than family development, I'd like to meet them. Our goal is to foster active, independent living through partnerships with local partners. So UAA for our library, Salvation Army for our hot lunch program that served 5 days a week, GCI for computer services, and even our own residents are providing art classes and other classes and teaching each other. Our investment in our seniors to bring community wellness and independent living through partnerships is critically important to their healthy lives. We know it costs much less to provide them independent living than it does for the state to have to support them through Medicaid. So I think there is a return on investment that maybe isn't well captured in this whole process, but I think this is going to become more and more important for us to measure that return on investment. Retaining them in their own communities where their families live is going to be critically important to the state. Finally, it's a pretty simple story. My parents are in their 80s, and I learn from them with every conversation. They simply want to know that they still have value. So our seniors are the souls of our community. They're our local brain trust. There are institutional knowledge. We're all going to be there someday. Retaining them will matter to our families. It'll matter to our communities. It'll matter to the state. So we thank you for the opportunity to provide them with affordable housing. Thank you very much.
So thank you for spending time with us this afternoon. We do have a short video that we would like to share with you. The Association of Alaska Housing Authorities invested in developing this video to share with our friends in-state as well as out-of-state as well, the diversity that we are challenged with in developing and delivering affordable homes here in Alaska. I'd like for you to sit through. This is a short 11-minute video.
I got that was I called Joe Newhouse, I talked to him directly. Sure. Thank you.
Kids are staying here. They don't have the money or the build their own housing. They need to have some kind of program where, you know, either HUD comes in or some kind of loan program is set up so that the younger kids would be able to afford to get their own home. Because you see so many villagers losing their schools because people moving out. And if we don't have housing, that's going to happen to us too, because everybody wants their space, you know, their own house. So housing is really important in the community.
In the early days, about the only housing that was being constructed in Bush, Alaska was by BIA or by private citizens building their own homes. And the private sector really wasn't going out into Bush, Alaska. It was primarily too expensive to do so. And it wasn't until the early 70s that the Alaska State Legislature saw that the housing needs in Bush, Alaska were not being met. And they passed a law that empowered the regional housing authorities to be the housing entity for geographic regions across the state. We've commissioned a number of housing needs assessment studies. The most recent one was done in 2009. And in that study, we estimated that there was a need for 12,940 units statewide.
The name of our Saxton Senior Center is Shan Hiddy, which in Tlingit means home or housing for elders. Our population is aging as quickly as everywhere else. The big priority for us in our small communities is that without these facilities, we would lose a lot of our elders and a lot of our knowledge, and a lot of that traces right back to our culture and the survival of our communities. So we wanted to create facilities that could help keep our elders in our communities. I know that right now we have at least 300 people on our waiting list to get into some type of housing. You know, the broader challenges that we're facing is aging facilities. A lot of these were built in the 70s, you know, old technology, not very energy efficient. And so we've had to expend a lot of our energy and resources in trying to modernize you know, our homes, given the high cost of energy. And, you know, the high cost of energy, not just heating the home, but leads to higher costs for us in transportation and getting materials and maintaining our units. The challenges with constructing the facility in Saxman, you know, one, it is built on the side of a mountain, and so there is a lot of you know, geographic, topographical issues that we had to overcome, which added to the costs. You know, we also here in Alaska are limited to a 6 or 7 month building season, and again, that all requires a lot of advanced planning, and a lot of that adds to our costs.
First of all, we live in the coldest state in the Union. Construction methods are different here, as they should be. If done properly, you can conserve energy to a large degree, but if not, and in this case we're talking about replacing substandard housing and old housing that's been cycled through the community for a long time, not very efficient housing at all. So we have a real concentrated effort in looking at energy efficiency design features in all of the homes. And to add to that is the recent increase in cost of energy.
There was a devastating fire in 2006 that destroyed approximately 13 residential units, a school, some teacher housing as well, a power plant, and also numerous other structures. As a result of that, we started to explore the possibility of developing a multifamily development. Hooper Bay is situated in a remote part of Alaska, and the community itself lacked infrastructure. There is no harbor there. The roads are somewhat limited. The high cost of delivery of materials from Seattle is very costly. We have geographic regions in our state that are close to the water table and have unstable soil conditions. In many cases, homes are built on what we call post and beam foundations that are above the ground, sitting on top of frozen permafrost. Very difficult to design and maintain those kinds of houses on a moving surface that thaws and freezes by virtue of the season. Other areas, for example, in the southeast and along the coast, which have relatively milder climates, comparatively speaking, the problem there is bedrock. Almost everything below the surface is on bedrock. So anytime we have to put a water and sewer system in, you're talking about huge expense.
Idea of being a catalyst for that change, changing perceptions, changing the reality of where people live, using the neighborhood as really a canvas, and taking the good characteristics of this neighborhood and making it something it used to be, but even better.
I like the location. It was near downtown, but yet I could afford to live here. And I like the idea of it being a neighborhood where I could walk to places, restaurants and stores. The Cook Inlet housing homes are affordable and also really good quality.
It's okay for us to say that it looks better and it feels better, but people really want to know, how do you know it's really changing? So as we look at Mountain View, we see that the population is up over 18% since 2000. That tells us that people are choosing to live in Mountain View. We see the median income levels are up, property values are up, and the average tenancy or residency of people that live here, half the population here has lived here for 5 years or more. That tells us that the neighborhood is stabilizing. They're banking where they didn't have a bank before, they're walking to the grocery store, and they're seeing Mountain View with a different lens. They're seeing it as not just an older neighborhood that had really ugly buildings, but they're seeing it now as a neighborhood where people are thriving and they're younger families and they're really living here with intention.
Did you ever buy that house?
So I want to thank you for spending your afternoon, your lunch with us. I'm going to ask for our panel to come back up. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to share with us, we'd be more than happy to answer those questions. Again, the slideshow that you've seen this afternoon, and as well as the DVD, are just a few examples of the good work that the housing authorities are doing to maximize your investment in us to provide affordable housing. So, does anyone have any questions of us?
Shy. Everybody's shy.
Did we wow you all?
Good job.
Okay. We also have a website. It's what's the website? I think it's
right here.
www.ahaak.org. We update that frequently. We also have doing quarterly newsletters. Just kind of updating the folks of the good work that we're doing. So I just want to close, and I just want to, sure.
Can I say one thing?
a lot of mention of the HFC. I just want to pass on from HFC's perspective that you folks are the, you're and your organization are the best partners we could ever have. The commitment that's out there and the work, I just want to thank you from my perspective of all the years we've been working together. And I think you do a great job and through extreme conditions, and we're just really proud of our partnership, and it's going to continue. And I just think I look forward to the future working with you some more.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. I just also want to comment that we are just as excited as you are, Dan, to strengthen our partnership with you and many others who've invested in us. So I certainly appreciate and look forward to a stronger working relationship. Carl, did you have something to share?
I'd just like to thank all our funders that, you know, really believe in our housing programs that we're running now. But I think a lot of people, you know, like he's saying, our unemployment and stuff and the rates in the villages are really high. I don't really know if you guys ever hear the aspects of you guys funding these houses, but you guys leave some money behind. And that operates our villages in the interior for, you know, 3 to 5 years. And so it's not like there's no really economical development in these little rural communities or in some urban areas too, but it's that you guys get a chance to attack our, you know, our unemployment rate. Some of them is 98%. Mm-hmm. And so it's huge. It's huge what the dollar you guys give us, because we stretch it and we use it to the best of our ability. So I'd like to thank you guys for the funding that you do give us. And we'd like to see that upped a little bit so we can do a little more, because some villages are, we had a lot of out migrations from the communities, but as the housing needs are kind of being met, we have people moving back to their communities, which is a plus. That means we're creating great and healthy communities. So thank you, people, for hearing us out and funding us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I was just going to make one comment. I think Heather has information to hand to you as you leave the room. But we recognize we have heart-wrenching stories, and they're really great stories. But what you really need to know is how the return on investment is measured. And you need to know that there are tangible outcomes. So the association for 4 years now has conducted an economic impact study that measures jobs, that measures production, that measures energy savings, and measures outcomes that we think are important to everybody, and especially to our investors like the state of Alaska. So we hope you'll take time to read that. It's pretty powerful data. You need that data to know that we've taken you seriously, and your investment really matters to us, it matters to our communities, matters to the families, but it really does matter to you too.
I just want to go ahead and state something. You know, these are positive projects, and however, there is a greater need out there that we still need to go ahead and address. And I just want to go ahead and point that out, that the need is still, we still need to go ahead and work on that. And this is just to go ahead and show you that we are, through partnership, are actually putting a dent in respect to housing and housing services. Thank you.
Ron, you know, I think Alaska could be proud of the programs that we have in Alaska Housing and through the housing authorities. I think we lead the nation in many areas, particularly in weatherization and others, but not to take away from the senior, the supplemental and the senior funding, but I have some concerns about the weatherization program. We've had some spillovers, and we were able to, I think, meet the demand for the program. But I wonder if, Dan, you could talk about so much demand that we might not be able to meet the need, and to try to get the governor's number up from the 50-some million up to a much more higher number that's going to meet the anticipated demand this next year.
Well, thank you, Senator. We gave a presentation the other day, and I've got the slides with me, but the weatherization, you know, both programs, and I want to thank you. Remember when we started this in a discussion when you asked to have with me up in your office? It's the most successful thing I've ever worked on in reference to bang for the buck, quality of life, effect it has on people and their homes, extending the longevity of a home. And everyone loves the program. And so it's hard to come in when there's been $50 million put in a budget and complain. That's just, I've been doing this a long time. It's not advisable to come down and complain. But the fact of the matter is that that program at multi-year funding is even more efficient because you can help these folks when they're managing for us extend your ordering of materials. You get economies of scales working, and you get more and more people into the unit. And as I've testified, we're hesitant working with Stacy and others on our marketing because we don't want to get a run on the bank. And then all of a sudden, people get more upset when they come to use the program and you say, well, you're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait for next year's funding. If we could have multi-year funding, it would get even better, and the needs would be addressed because rural, it's incredible what's going on out there, even on the urban side. But the rural, when you look at those fuel prices, can you imagine for those of you that don't live or haven't trying to heat your house or deciding if you're going to heat your house, you're going to pay your rent, pay your mortgage, feed your, you know, and those are decisions people make. When you go into a program like this and have a direct impact, as Ron pointed out, on the annual savings, and that could be even increased if you increase the amount of money that you put into the houses. We've limited it on rural. We have a different breakdown for urban. There's many times that we factor ourselves in Bob Breen, who's done a great job with his people. Life safety, if we see something of a life safety issue, that's a priority that needs to be fixed first, and sometimes that draws away from other things, and we concentrate on furnaces and other things. But anyway, I could go on and on. I love this program. I'm so proud to be part of it, and I'd like to see more money into it so we could even reach out to more Alaskans. I find it ironic, as well as all these bills that are in this body, and they're all good bills, but we're talking about energy, every hearing. It's pipelines, it's trucking, it's doing all this other stuff. And you got a program here that needs to be part of that discussion because conservation is the quickest hit that you can get to the citizens. It's immediate, it's worthwhile, and it helps people sustain themselves while they're waiting for something more efficient to come along. So I thank you.
And it's continuous savings every single year.
Every year. So it's just a great program. So thank you.
Carrier Turtle. You know, I think as Senator Hoffman and Dan has expressed, the weatherization program is critical to preserving existing housing and making them more energy efficient. And yet, you know, I think it's roughly $50 million a year in weatherization, and we spend, the state through HFC allocates less than a tenth, 10% of that in new gap funding, if you will, through the senior grant program to develop new housing. Can one of you speak to how much in senior grant requests were actually requested of HFC and the programs they offer over the last couple of years and versus how much was actually available?
And how much it leveraged as well?
Mm-hmm. I think the data I have is for the last round, and I think it's indicative of what's happened in the past. So I can speak to the last round, which was 2012, just awarded, and just to repeat that there were about 218 units in requests. Those units would have resulted in about $48 million in investment in senior housing. It would have required $9 million from the Senior Citizens Housing Development Grant. So it's really 15% of the total. And when you think about all the population figures that I was throwing out today, you know, 14% of the people that living here are aging in place. That's the tsunami that's coming at us. Having them live independently longer is a lot less expensive with that 15% gap funding than it is to think about our population being dependent on Medicaid funding in the future. So there's a pent-up demand. I think maybe the other thing I would say about those 218 units, they're shovel-ready. These are units that they're already designed, they have site control, they have all their other funding sources put together, they simply need that last 15%. So those 163 units that were not successful this year will simply wait to reapply next year. So that demand is kind of a growing bubble. So 163, and as maybe three or four other communities get their applications together, we'll have another 200 to 250 units that will be in the queue next year, and how many can we fund?
But we're not gaining.
We're not gaining. We're really catching up. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think, you know, relative to about $4.5 million that's actually available every year, so more than twice, three times the requests are being made, you know, versus how much money is actually available.
Yeah, there's, when I go to sell bonds, if you go and you have $500 million deal on the table and you get orders for $600 million, we cheer, because what we do is we lower the price and reissue the bonds and do it again, get a better price for Alaskans. You can't do that with housing because the demand exceeds the supply, but you can't drop the cost of your product like you can with a bond. I hope people, so oversubscribing is nice in the bond market, but it's hard emotionally when you're trying to house people. It's just a,
I think
a different
phenomenon. If I could say one more thing as a follow-up, because sometimes we talk solely, and we're all guilty of it, we talk solely about the need. But the reality is we're really community developers. And so when you really think about the idea of retaining your institutional knowledge, your elders in your community, the potential that they can impact education, that they impact, you know, when an elder tells you to do something, you do it. You know, if they're not there, and you just change the dynamics in a community when you take out one segment of the population and they have to move because there's no housing for them. So. I think there is, it's beyond need. I think it has a huge value to the state to retain our seniors with their families in their communities and provide that right disciplinary tension, if you will, in leadership. I think that's critically important, very difficult to measure. But I don't want to put the seniors in a bucket of they need us. I think we need them as much as they need us.
Well, great. Again, I want to thank our hosts and our sponsors, Senator Olson and Representative Edgman. We certainly appreciate your willingness to assist us in presenting to you all today. Again, we have our contact information, and I welcome you to visit our website. If there's any additional questions, I know you guys are busy this week, so I don't want to keep you too long. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions, or if you have comments or would like further information about the work that we do, feel free to contact us. Thank you. Enjoy your afternoon.